prosperous, how blessed, how prosperous we are from Fresh Peas. Did it work?
It's sprung. I don't know.
That's good. It's okay. It's on. Toward red. Thank you. So, Ephesians 1, praise to God, thanksgiving, because He has blessed us, bestowed on us, given us out of His mercy and grace every great gift that was His to give us through Jesus Christ. And as we go through this study, I want us to realize the honor and glory and thanksgiving that He deserves. Okay. I found in Vines that it also connotes the state of prosperity or happiness that comes from divine favor. That's an old 1945 Vines and, you know, thing. So sometimes they actually mention God in it. And so, my Webster's Collegiate Dictionary is a 1945. Endowed with divine favor, bringing pleasure or relief to what one had previously been burdened by. Now, we're going to look at what condition man was in, what condition we are in without the grace and mercy of Christ, and how burdened we are, and what then the blessedness of being relieved of that burden lifted. Okay? Did anyone find any other definitions that would give light to our study? Okay. And just quickly, those two things at the bottom, we're not going to talk about the social gospel. We're not going to talk about the kind of blessings that the world talks about, you know, God, and every time I go through a line anymore, I hear, have a blessed day, that kind of thing. You know, we're not going to talk about what the world looks at as being blessed or a blessed day. We're also not going to talk about all the many blessings that the Bible talks about that we receive from God. We have children, we have homes, we have family, we have food, we have raiment. Those are all blessings from God. He gives the rain to the just and the unjust. And He, you know, those kinds of blessings from the beginning, the world that we live in, how wonderful it is. He gave us this beautiful place. And so we're not going to discuss that. You know, we're going to discuss the spiritual prosperity of how those who trust in and obey the Lord are endowed with true eternal riches for our soul, and from what source they flow, and how God elected to bring them about. And, you know, that is going to be a brief study. We're going to go through it quite quickly. So let's turn now our focus. I wanted to read this one last thing in number 4 that you have on page 2. We will see God's eternal power. We will see His loving kindness. We will see His righteous word. We will see His desire for obedient faith. We will see His wrath for disobedience. While all along working His eternal purpose in Christ Jesus to redeem man from his sins. And what He wants for His people. And what it means to be His child. That's what we're going to look at perfectly, Lord willing. Okay, Proverbs 16:25. Another thing, we're not going to be reading every verse that I give you. I do hope and pray you study your lesson at home. You read every passage. We will hit the highlights because we won't get page through page 7, much less 20. You know, if we read every passage and discuss it. Some of those are there for the reading and for your growth and understanding. In Proverbs 16:25, in Romans 3:23, and Romans 6:23a, God and the Holy Spirit speaks to our human condition. Alyssa, would you like to read, please, what I put there on number five there? There is a way. You have it. Number five, page two. Page two. Okay, no. Hear God, the Holy Spirit speaks our holiness condition. Okay, Romans 16:25. Yes.
Hear God, the Holy Spirit speaks to our human condition. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death.
Okay, that's a synopsis of what those three passages say. So this is our condition. Man thinks that he's right. He believes in his heart, and he lets his own conscience guide him, and so he chooses his way. He chooses what he's going to do. But the Holy Spirit says that the wages of that is death. You know, the end of it is death. We cannot guide our own steps. And so the other condition is, God says, all have sinned. We all fall short. And that also leads to death. So what has God in his mercy and God in his grace done to relieve man of this? Jeremiah 10 also speaks to that. And even Psalm 6 speaks to it. So here we have David, and then we have Jeremiah. And they're speaking both to the same condition. O Lord, I know that the man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. And let's turn over to Jeremiah 10. I think it's very interesting there. I put a couple of extra little notes in there. In Jeremiah 10, of course, God is getting ready to to punish Judah. And, of course, Jeremiah is going to pray for him and all that kind of thing. And but, you know, Jeremiah is talking to God about this. You know, I know, God, it's not in our way to direct our own steps. You know. And so Jeremiah prays in verse 24. He says, correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Jeremiah recognizes God's wrath, but he also recognizes God's mercy and his pleading for it, not only for himself, but he pleads for the nation. And then God turns around and says, even if Samuel or Moses was standing here, I wouldn't listen to them. You know, he was going to punish Judah. And so the Lord is full of grace and full of mercy, but he's also full of justice and wrath, and he will not relent if those who are disobedient to him do not turn and trust in and trust him in his way. And so, you know, we see the Old Testament's full of examples of those who turn away from God and how God feels about that. Jeremiah 17:7, let's turn over there. 17, we're almost there. Lauren, would you read Jeremiah 17:7?
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord.
Okay. Whose hope? That's another good rendition. Mine says trust in both of those. But the two different words is trust in and trust is. To trust in is to take refuge with confidence, to put hope in. Who looks to for security. To trust is means that you have this hope and it gives you courage and endurance. And because of that trust in the Lord, I believe, therefore I do, because of who is saying it. Okay? Opposite of verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Okay? So, we need a heart that's turned towards God because of who he is, of what he does, what he promises, and we put our hope in that, and that leads to our obedience. Okay? So, any questions about any of that material? Any comments that you might have written down? This is your class. All right, then, let's begin with lesson one. Psalm 65. We will start there. Elizabeth, would you please read Psalm 65? You can't talk. Elizabeth can't talk. We're sorry about this. Sorry. Okay, Sandra, 65, 3 and 4. Psalm.
Iniquity prevails, and for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and calls to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple.
Okay. David starts out, iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgression, thou dost forgive them. Okay. Now, as we go through, let's watch the words that he's talking about God's abundant favor towards him, just in this little short passage right here. Forgive them. And then he says, how blessed, that is, how happy, extremely prosperous or happy, is the one whom thou dost choose. See the word? That's not sitting back there before the creation of the world and saying, okay, I choose, I'm going to save Linda and I'm going to save Pat, but I'm not going to save, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry. Choose by plan. But God chooses. He chose a plan, okay? And how blessed is the one that thou dost choose by purpose and cause, okay? Verse 5, he brings it about by his awesome deeds. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How awesome is that? How unfathomable is that? And so, but, you know, it's his grace and his favor. And so, not whose sin is covered, it says here. Whose sin is covered. So, we forgive, we're chosen, and bring near. Let's talk about that a minute. I almost overlooked that. Bring near to God. What does sin do? What do we know that sin does? It separates us from God. He brings near to him. This awesome, mighty, creator God brings us near to him. How blessed is that? Okay? And so he brings us near to dwell in thy courts. We will be satisfied. I love the way that this talks about this. We will be satisfied, filled up to overflowing. More blessings than we can imagine. Just to be overflowing, not just content, you know, or just barely filled, you know, a little food, but overflowing with these blessings. Overflowing. Like you've eaten too much at Thanksgiving dinner, you know, and you're just, well, it's overflowing with these blessings, okay? With thy goodness, the plenty, the very best. Not something that God just threw in there from the trash heap. The very best He's given. We will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy sacred temple. Psalm 36, 7 through 10 reads about the bountiful blessings of the delights that He gives to us. The bountiful blessings are of His delights that He gives to us. So this God gives us so freely, so bountifully, these blessings. Any comments or any questions about that? Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Ashley, can you read Psalm 32, 1, 2, 7, 10, and 11? One and two.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And then seven. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. And then 10 and 11. May the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Okay, how blessed, extremely prosperous, extremely made happy, okay? Blessed, in whose transgression is forgiven. There's another word, okay? Here's the blessing, forgiven. They're carried away. They're lifted. They're taken away. They're covered over. God doesn't see them any longer. Whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not charge or hold against his sin. Iniquity, moral evil, sin, doesn't hold it against us anymore. And whose spirit there is no deceit. Christ had no deceit. There was nothing that was deceitful or that contained a lie or anything to Christ. We must come before God with a contrite heart that lays bare everything before Him in truth. We can't, you know, we can't hide anything from God anyway. But sometimes, you know, we're tempted to try. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. I am safe. You know, can you imagine? I had this sin. They're not held against me anymore. You're my trust. I'm safe. I'm free from fear of those sins. I'm free from oppression. I'm happy. I'm overjoyed. The question is, are we? That's one of the points that I wanted, you know, because sometimes I read these blessings and I go along my way and I thank God, you know, and I say my prayers, but am I thankful enough? Am I joyful enough? Am I so thankful that I reach out and try to be more than what I was today? In God's service, or in praise to Him, reaching out to others, teaching my children, teaching my grandchildren, all these things that we might do to show God, thank you. He who trusts in the Lord. Oh, I like that. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. How many of you see what sin does in lives of people? Everybody. Many are the sorrows. And not only that, they don't have any hope. Their sins aren't covered. And this, speaking spiritually, they're really in deep trouble. Because God doesn't cover their sin. if they don't look to Jesus. And we're going to look at that. Okay. Many of the sorrows of the wicked. But you know why they have sorrows? They don't trust in the Lord. The very next line. Trust in the Lord. Loving kindness. And all this loving kindness, the things that we're going to talk about, the blessings in Christ Jesus, loving kindness. And we're also going to look at the Word of God briefly. One of His great mercies is that He has given us the written Word, not only to bring us to Jesus, but to give us a way to live in a way that if we follow Him and trust Him, we can have a better life. That doesn't mean we're not going to have sadness. We're not going to have sorrows. He's not going to say no to some of our prayers. We're not going to have pain. But when God directs our paths, we're going to look at, you know, we're prosperous. We're going to look at Psalms 1 and Proverbs 1. Lord willing. Okay, so, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. We get back to this rejoicing and being glad and thanksgiving. The New Testament's full of it when Paul writes his letters to the people. And so, loving kindness surrounding, be glad. Okay, now, if you read the psalm, you'll notice all the words about David's singing. And then no wonder when he gets down to how blessed, you know, when he starts it and then he talks about all of that. No wonder he says how blessed his transgressions are forgiven, are covered. Because look what a mess he made. And look at, because of trusting in the Lord, what he was able to become and praise the Lord for. So, we started with Ephesians 1. Any comments about that? Okay, let's go back to Ephesians 1 just briefly. Lord willing, we're going to do an in-depth study of the blessings in Christ Jesus that's mentioned here. And not just you know, going over the words. Lord willing, with studying together, we can look at those in depth and really try to get an appreciation of what that really means. Okay, so Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. Just as He chose him in the beginning. Now, this is just a sample that I gave you to read, and we're not going to read them all. But just this one. Ephesians 1 through 4 through 6. This is talking about how the Lord knew and planned from even before the foundations of the world that He was going to redeem man back to Himself. Now, why I included this back to the statement that we need to have confidence in and have our faith grounded in spiritual blessings in Christ. When Christ comes, and so that we can not only have within our own selves confidence and trust, but that we are able to teach our children and to teach others outside that this is God's plan, and march them through and show them that Christ is the end factor of the plan that He had to redeem man and what that means for their soul. So, verse 4, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And we're going to look at some of those passages and what those words mean, Lord willing, when we get to Ephesians, the first chapter. So God, in His infinite mercy and grace, as a plan, and it begins from the very first book of the Bible And so we're going to look at that as we march through. We're going to look at Genesis, the third chapter, hopefully, as he works his plan to bring about and to give us confidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who came to destroy the works of the devil and to give us life eternal. And so, let's begin with Psalm 98. It just says, "The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." Here, the psalmist is saying, you know, if a person who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, you know what? If you seek, you can find. That's in the New Testament. Jesus said that. You seek, you'll find. So God has made known his salvation to the nations, to men. And he starts in Genesis, the second chapter, and the third chapter. And, you know, I gave you those verses and questions. Okay. Let's turn over to Genesis, and we'll just look at some of these as we have just a few minutes left. Genesis, the second chapter, verse 17, says, "And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it," so forth and so on. And then, what does he say? He says, "Cursed is the ground because of you, in toil you shall eat," and that's chapter 3. Okay. But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, 2:17, "You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." Okay, so what was the penalty for disobedience of God's command for man? Death. And, you know, as further in our study, we will see that it's both physical and spiritual. Because as the story unfolds, we see them separated from God. And separated from the tree of life. Okay. What was the promise to Satan? What did y'all put down? In chapter 3.
Cursed more than all the animals.
Okay. You think that's talking about the real serpent? Maybe it's a dual promise here. Let's read what God says to Satan. All those verses there. Verse 3, he's still talking to man. He says, "From the fruit of the tree of knowledge in the middle of the garden, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." Okay, and then down in verses 14 and 15, "And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." Satan of old took the form of a serpent. God's talking to Satan, in my belief. It could be dual. He could have cursed the serpent of which Satan took, changed his creation, made him crawl on the dust and eat dust, crawl on the ground, and be lower than the rest of the creation. That said, spiritual, messianic prophecy. Satan, Christ, I believe, the seed of woman. Satan was the source of evil and death from the beginning. He led his forces against the Lord and his plan to redeem man, especially during the time of Christ, Christ's birth, during his ministry. Remember his temptations and all the evil people that were against him. Satan's seed, his followers, evil men, his servants, killing Christ on the cross. However, God didn't stop there with Satan. He said, you're going to bruise him on the hill, but he's going to crush. He's going to bruise your head. My understanding. Satan is degraded. He's humbled. He's given limited power. Woman's seed is going to crush his authority and power. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Let's read that. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Says, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, but through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And also 1 John 3:8, very straightforward passage. 1 John 3:8. We'll start with verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Seed of woman, Christ coming, being born of woman, destroys the authority and the power that Satan has over men. Yes, he still tempts men. 1 Peter 3 is very clear that he roams around like a lion trying to devour. But he doesn't have, he does not have the power to destroy to those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus and in the plan that God has. Satan would bruise her seed on his heel. Seemingly what Satan did, it looked to the world that evil had triumphed. Even to the Jews, they thought they had put this blasphemer, this Christ that he was claiming to be, down. But we know better. The third day he was raised, and he overcome, and he had victory over death and over Satan. We will stop there. And stop on time. Any questions concerning the lesson? If you have comments as to how better the class can go, what you would like to see in the class, please see me. You know, this is our class together, and we want to glean as much as we can and help one another.